So open your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I know that we could spend literally hours and hours on the truths of the first chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, but I'm not going to just spend hours on words and hours on just single verses. I'm going to try to keep this study in the context of what I think it would mean to those people who received it at Corinth. And they wouldn't have labored over every word just Sunday after Sunday. It was a letter from Paul to the church of God at Corinth, and someone read this letter to the church. And then after Paul's after someone had read this letter from Paul, then I'm sure there was discussion of it. I'm not going to spend just hours and hours and hours on single verses and things of this nature, but I want us to look at it sufficiently enough to understand it, but not to become bored by just spending hours and hours on one particular concept. So we're in the second chapter tonight, second chapter, verse 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now you'll notice that in verse 1 in chapter 17, Paul begins to deny that the Christian religion is based upon philosophic concepts. It's not, as he points out, just another religion of which men will soon tire and change to some other religion that is new and perhaps more interesting and thrilling. But he preaches or writes to the church that they have believed in Jesus Christ and that he didn't come and use arguments that the debaters used or arguments that the scholars used, but that he preached Christ and the cross of Christ, and he preached Christ crucified. And these people who were a cross section of the population of Corinth had responded to that particular message, and they now stood in Christ Jesus, and they had the wisdom of God and the righteousness of God and the sanctification of God and the redemption of God. And Paul said, now because you didn't earn any of this and because it was bestowed upon you, because you had faith in Jesus Christ, then don't go around glorying in who you are and what you've done, but glory in the Lord. And then Paul tells them how he came to the city of Corinth and what he experienced and how he felt as he preached to them what he terms the testimony of God. Now, we understand that Paul was a saved man. The ninth chapter of the book of Acts tells us of this experience. The Bible tells us that Paul was a baptized man. The Bible tells us that Paul was a commissioned man. And in this commission, after his baptism, it is said, or rather before his baptism, it is said, now he's going to go to the Gentiles and preach to them. And then Paul, after he seemed to have difficulty with the Jewish segment, said, lo, I turn to the Gentiles. That is, my primary ministry will now be among the Gentile persons. Paul was an obedient man. He'd come to Corinth. God had called him to preach to the Gentiles. Paul had preached, but he had seen that his greatest success and God's blessing on his preaching and his ministry was among the Gentiles. And here Paul is now at the city of Corinth. And he says, I, brethren, when I came to you. when I came to you, when I was among you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. Excellency of speech has to do with a superior presentation. It has to do not with the words particularly, but the entire content of what he said. Paul is saying, when I came to you, I did not come with excellency of speech or the application of human wisdom. I really don't know what a stem winder is. Have you ever heard about someone who preached a stem winder? Well, I'm not sure where that figure of speech came from, but I do know that if you preach a stem winder, you've really gone to some really extremes to do it. And Paul is saying, when I came to Corinth, I did not rise to superior heights of oratory or the application of human wisdom. He didn't say he couldn't, but he said that he didn't. And the word wisdom, of course, has in it the idea of being skillful, one who has natural abilities. I believe Paul says this, when I came to Corinth, I didn't put on a show. I didn't demonstrate my abilities as a speaker, if he had abilities as a speaker. I was not a person who was dramatic. I was not an orator. And Paul says there's a reason for that. He had a prior determination. He had said these scriptures that we read, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, that is, preaching what God has testified to, for I determined. And the word determined means to separate or divide. And therefore it has in it the idea of a decision before something is done. Now, it seems to me that before Paul came to Corinth, he thought about the city, and he thought about the persons who were there, and he thought about all of the conditions and the circumstances of that city. And Paul said, weighing all of the things that I knew about you, perhaps he had been there before. I really don't know. But Paul knew. He was a well-traveled man, a well-educated man. So he knew about this city. And he said, for I determined. There was a prior decision. He said, for I determined. And what was this determination? What was this particular decision? Not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, some people think that Paul is saying to these people, now, I'm not going to get involved in your arguments. I'm not going to get involved in your schisms. I'm not going to endorse one party above another party. But I don't think that's what Paul is saying. He said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, and I think he's talking about his body presence with them, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. He's saying, remember when I came to Corinth and I preached, I didn't try to go into the manner of the orator and the debater. He said, I declared unto you the testimony of God. And he said this was a prior determination. It was a decision that I had made before I came to the city. And Paul said, I determined to know, not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There might have been a temptation for Paul to come to the city of Corinth and preach Jesus. And you say, well, that would have been a wonderful thing for Paul to have come and preached Jesus, but Jesus, an uncrucified Jesus, is not a saving Jesus. Jesus would just have been another deity. It's a strange thing, but the deities that these people worshiped, they slew men. The gods of the Greeks and the Romans were cruel to men. They took men's lives, but this God that Paul preached took his own life. Think about that. All of the gods of the other religions were men who cared, were gods who cared little for man. They enjoyed putting men in embarrassing and difficult situations. But not this God whom Paul preached. This God whom Paul preached did not crucify humans. He crucified his own son. And Paul is saying, when I came, I determined that I wasn't going to preach religion. I wasn't going to preach a good Jesus and as an example or as a demonstration. He said, I'm going to preach Jesus Christ crucified. Now, Paul said, when I came, I had some very serious personal problems. Isn't that strange? When Paul enumerates everything that has happened to him, the shipwrecks, the beatings, the starvations, the wants, and all these things, he never says a single time, I was really frightened. I was really scared. You know, when he's on the ship and he's sailing and there's a great storm that arises, Paul keeps saying, don't be afraid. He doesn't say, I feared. He doesn't use that. When the mobs were chasing him, when he was beaten with stripes and with rods, all these things, Paul never writes of the terror and the fear that filled him. But now he's talking about his being among the Corinthians, and he's saying, I had some serious personal problems when I came among you. And I was with you. And here's Paul's personal problems in weakness. It literally means infirmities. The cities like Corinth were very sports-minded people. We don't realize it, but, you know, the arenas, these stadiums, War Memorial Stadium, you know, we think we thought of that. You know, to build a place with all these seats up high with an entrance here where people could come in and sit down, and then down on the field in that lower area you'd put some people who would do battle with one another. You know, we think we invented all this. My friends, they were doing this hundreds of years before Jesus Christ ever came to the earth. The city of Corinth was a city that prided itself in grandeur, in sports events and in religious events and circuses and gala events of all kinds, and it respected and people of power were there. You know, if we've been picking out a missionary to go to Corinth, if we had been picking out a missionary to go to Corinth, and this evidently small, weak-eyed, rather unassuming person applied for the job of missionary, we probably said, he can't succeed in that city. What we need is some, you know, 6'2", bronzed, figure, someone who's handsome, someone who can really strike a pose and who can use all of the words that are acceptable to these people. Now that's the guy we need to be a missionary in Corinth. Paul said, you realize that when I came to you in feebleness and in weakness and in fear. And that word is phobos, from which we get phobia. He's saying, when I was among you, I was filled with fear. If you have a phobia, that is, if you have a fear of heights or a fear of being closed in, like in claustrophobia or all the other phobias that exist, then you may have some idea then what Paul is saying about. He's not saying that he had some minor trepidations or that he was a little unsettled, but he's saying, I had fear when I came among you. I was feeble. I was not strong physically, and I was filled with fear. In fact, the Bible tells us that it was such a fear that caused a quaking in Paul. And he mentions the words trembling, and it means to shiver, and to shiver with fear. Now, Paul is reminding them that when he came among them, he was weak, evidently sickly, and that when he preached, he actually trembled. Now, that doesn't present the idea of this self-confident Dale Carnegie, in control, Norman Vincent Peale, Robert Schuller type person, does it? Huh? You ever see Smiling Bob? Read Norman Vincent Peale? Oh, you're saying, now, Brother Penn, you don't believe that a man ought to dress well and that he ought to use adequate English and that all of these are helps? I want to show you the point that Paul's making, then perhaps you'll understand what I think Paul is saying. You see, I really believe the city at Corinth had decided that they needed to reach out. You know, they were having some pretty good times, and I think they decided they were on solid ground. The church was doing very well. Perhaps it was growing very well. And they were exercising the spiritual gifts. You know, they were speaking in tongues and they were prophesying. And you know, I really think they had, a really, really a rock and rolling church going there. And they were really proud of themselves and they were really puffed up and pleased. They weren't even looking at the morality or immorality that was going on in the congregation. And they were using the Lord's Supper. Somebody said, you know, we used to observe the Lord's Supper and we'd just come and sit quietly and we'd eat the bread and drink the wine and go home. I tell you what, let's do. Let's change that and let's start drinking a lot of wine. We can all have a better time, draw more people, eat a lot of bread. You know, we'll change all these things. We'll start getting people who really know what's going on. We'll get some success to this thing. Paul said, you remember when I came to Corinth? You remember when I preached to you? You remember I was sick and his eyes probably ran, not with tears, but just what we call watering or mattering. And he said, I was a feeble man and I trembled. He said, I was afraid. But then Paul mentions in verse 4, power. Notice. And my speech and my preaching, notice again, was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Speech and preaching, the context and content rather, and manner of proclamation. Paul seems to have literally cut back, to tone down his manner of preaching, and he seems to have done it on purpose. He said, I did not use enticing words that are based upon man's wisdom. And the word entice means to persuade, and it means to win by influence, to speak with winning words. Now that's strange. Paul said, when I came to you, I did not come with persuasive words, with winning words. And he used the same word in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11 when he states, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's exactly the same word. Now, Paul says, when I came to you the first time, when I preached to you the first time, when I preached Christ crucified, when I preached the cross, I did not use persuasion. I did not use persuasive words. But then he writes to him the second letter and he's saying, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. What has happened? I think Paul is showing us the difference between what we would term over-persuading men to make a profession of faith and then persuading his people, knowing that God will judge his people, using every means of persuasion we can to get God's people to live like they ought to live. Now look at this. Have you ever heard a preacher say, well, I don't want someone to be saved against their will? My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, no one will ever be saved against their will. Don't ever worry about someone being saved against their will. What might happen, they might make a profession of faith and not be saved. But no one will ever be saved against their will. And I think Paul is saying, when it comes to the matter of preaching the gospel and presenting the gospel of Christ, we have to be careful that we don't inject things that have emotional impact and content so that men will, without obeying or submitting to God's righteousness, simply join the church. And then I think Paul is saying, but when men have been won to Christ, when they have been born again, when they have been saved, then we ought to persuade these people to live for God with every word we can think of. Now that seems to me what Paul is saying. I really don't think and I don't know what the point is. And Paul said, you know, as he wrote to the Romans, brethren, my heart's prayer and desire for God, to God for Israel is that they might be saved. But Paul is simply reminding these people, I did not trick you with enticing words. I didn't come and over-persuade you to do something because of my manner of preaching. He said, in fact, I think this is really what he's saying, in fact, if you had just simply gone on what I said and my style, you people had just walked away. Because there wasn't anything persuasive or powerful in my speech and in my presentation. And he says, this is why you people did what you did. And then he mentions the reason. But in demonstration of the Spirit, of the power of Spirit and of power. This word demonstration means a pointing out by argument. And power is literally dunamis or dynamite, power and action. And I think this is the sense of what he's saying. I didn't come to you, and I didn't overpersuade you. I didn't con you. I didn't invade your will. I didn't get involved in highly emotional human issues. I preached Christ and Him crucified, and God's power was in my message, proving to those who heard them that it was God's message. Now, Paul isn't saying that every time I preached, God would send lightning bolts and loud claps of thunder. You know, a lot of people seem to think that, when Paul preached, that demonstration of power and spirit was all of the carrying on and things of this nature. But it was simply the Spirit of God in His power convincing them that what they were hearing was the truth. These people couldn't say, well, we came to this meeting, and there you were, Paul, you know, this tremendous speaker with all of your powers of persuasion, and that's why we're all gathered here, because, you know, you did this to us. Paul said, you know, that didn't happen. That isn't the way it was at all. Now, why didn't Paul, quote, do everything he could? Why didn't Paul pull out all the stops? Why didn't Paul do all the things that he says he didn't do? Verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul preached as he did, not because he couldn't preach differently. Paul was well-educated. Paul knew all of the philosophies that these people knew. His background was Jewish and Gentile. He was well aware of all of the modern-day approaches to persuading, to speech-making, to order. Paul knew all these things. He isn't saying, I couldn't have done these things. And I don't believe Paul refused to do it because it wouldn't have been effective. Spiritual hucksterism has always had results. Spiritual con men have always had success. The clowns and things that attract the attention of people, you know, sometimes we defend these things. But as far as I'm concerned, I do not defend them, and I shall never defend them. It's not that Paul was so ignorant he couldn't have known that he could have gotten great crowds. And I don't think it was because he was afraid of men. You know, Paul was an apostle. I don't think he was afraid of Simon Peter, because he tells us on one occasion that he withstood Peter to his face. And I don't think Paul was afraid of Apollos. But Paul trembled and Paul feared. He had a phobia, and he literally quaked as he was among the Corinthians for one reason and one reason only, and that is that they might place their faith in something other than Jesus Christ, the crucified Son of God. He wanted their faith to be in that which was sure. That your faith, and that word means firm persuasion, the conviction which is based upon hearing, not upon sight or knowledge, that your faith should not stand, that is, that it may not be in the cleverness of man, but in the power of God. You see, Paul thought more of these people than to over-persuade and to trick them into joining the church. Would to God religion had that same conviction today. That people cared more for a boy or a girl than to simply get to add them to the number that they have had added to the church or baptized. That's not love. That's an inflated ego. That's self-satisfaction. Paul said, I didn't do that. I didn't come among you with all these sophisticated speeches and an appeal to you emotionally. He said, in fact, I went out of my way to simply tell you and give you knowledge of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and the Spirit of God accompanied what I said, and you people believed, and your faith doesn't stand in the wisdom of man or the eloquence of man. It stands in the power of God. Paul said, that's what I want. Your faith to stand in the power of God. He calls them to witness and said, remember when I was among you? Remember how it was? Paul's purposefully avoiding philosophic wisdom and persuasion of speech was his choice, his predetermined choice to avoid the possibility of these people's conversion experience being grounded in human power and not in God's power. May that be our desire, to present and teach and preach the truth with sincerity and love, invoking the accompanying power of God's Spirit, so that persons, when they make their profession of faith, will make it not in the enticing and demonstrated hucksterism of the modern day concepts of selling and evangelism, but let it stand where it ought to stand, and that is in the cross of Jesus Christ.